Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be back here. I'd like to follow along. We'll be in Matthew chapter 24 this afternoon. Matthew chapter 24. The title of my lesson this afternoon is Caught in the Act. And so I'll just start off by saying, have you ever been caught in the act? And I know that's kind of a vague question. Like, what act are you talking about, Luke? Well, just any act that maybe you were embarrassed to be caught doing. Not that it was wrong or sinful or shameful, but maybe just a little bit embarrassing, like you didn't want everyone to know what you were doing. It could be something like sneaking the last cookie. Like, I've busted one of my kids for doing that multiple times, and, you know, as soon as you catch them, they kind of look at you like, I wish you wouldn't have seen that. Maybe it was maybe you looking at something embarrassing, or someone catching you, like, and they go into the bathroom and you're doing something, you know, popping a zit or trimming something, something that you're really not wanting them to know that you're doing. And this happened to me, a number of times, but one time I can remember very clearly is when I was in college and I was alone in my room, in my dorm room, and I was listening to some music. And the music was kind of like, it's very catchy. It's a pop song. And all of a sudden I hear my roommate put his keys in the door and he's coming in with a friend of his. And I know that if they hear me listening to that song, they're going to tease me for a long time. And so, I'm shuffling around trying to switch the song, and I automatically shift it to like a rock song. And they knew exactly what I was doing, and they still teased me for a long time about listening to the previous song that I was listening to. But I was so embarrassed, and it snapped me out of what I was doing. Like I said, not that I was doing anything wrong per se, but it caught me off guard. And there was embarrassment to follow. I was caught in an act that I didn't want to be seen. I want to look this afternoon at what will we be doing when Jesus returns. Not that what we will be doing is something, well, I'd rather Jesus not know about that. He knows. God knows what you're doing. But will what we are caught doing be shameful and be sinful? Most of us, we might say that we lead pretty clean lives. So, Luke, what could you be talking about? Well, it's not just the sinful act, but it's this maybe the behavior that we're practicing. And we'll get into more detail on what this might mean. In Matthew chapter 24, I'll be going through sections of this chapter. But the overall section, I'll be reading from verses 36 through 51. And a lot of this, kind of the title of this section in my Bible is labeled, No One Knows That Day and Hour. No one knows the day or the hour. The first point I want to make this afternoon is we don't know when Jesus is returning. We don't know. You know, there are so many, when I was growing up, there was a common theme in certain movies or in TV shows to where there would always be one episode of a TV show to where the parents were going to be out of town. And what does that mean? The kids need to throw a party, right? Invite all their friends, you know, have pizza, have snacks, all of it. And they all counted on, they did this, and they thought they could get away with this because they knew exactly when their parents were coming home, right? We got till Sunday at 6 o'clock, all right? So we'll have the party, and then we'll have this much time to clean up, and our parents won't know anything happened, right? We can get away with it because we know exactly when they're supposed to come home. And of course, what happened in every episode? The parents caught an early flight home, or say, hey, we're coming home early. And then everyone gets caught in the act and they have to do a big-time cleanup. The whole premise is based on that they know when the parents are returning, and all of a sudden, they run out of time. Matthew chapter 24, we'll start in verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. We don't know when Jesus is returning. We don't know. But we act like we do, don't we? We kind of act like we do know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen when I'm older, right? Whatever age you're at, it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen at a later time. There's no way it's going to happen at 5 o'clock, right? It's just, see, it will always seem so distant to us. And that's the way a lot of us act. We act as though we do know. It's just, it's not going to be today. It'll be sometime later. And that's how we go throughout life many times. What we're told here in Matthew, this warning of the hour, not knowing the hour, not knowing the time, says this was just like the time of Noah. They were practicing what they were practicing. They were celebrating, eating, drinking, marrying, all the way up to the point to where Noah got into the ark. They were hearing about their business. It was routine days. And of course, these were very wicked times, right? Every thought, every intention of the heart was wicked in the sight of the Lord. It was evil, rampant. And they continued that all the way up until Noah entered the ark. And they were swept away. Swept away by the flood. All of those people pretended as though tomorrow would absolutely be here. And then something miraculous happened, something that had not happened ever. And the waters rose above the whole planet and wiped them out. Something that they did not expect, something that they would not expect. And today they decided to celebrate and continue on and act like tomorrow was guaranteed. I think we act like that a lot of times. We act like we don't really need to get serious about our faith or get zealous about our faith because we have plenty of time. It's going to be tomorrow, right? Surely not today at 5 o'clock. Later down the road. When I'm older, right? A lot of times we are those children throwing that house party and thinking, I have plenty of time to clean up before my mom and dad get home. Maybe we should keep the house clean the entire weekend. That way there is no fear of being caught. As we continue on with this scripture, the second point I want to make is that we might be caught sleeping. Matthew chapter 24, and starting in verse 41. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I use a lot of movie references, and some of you may not be familiar with these, but I use them because they make good points. One of my favorite Christmas movies is Home Alone, and it's about a kid that's at home, and there are people that are going to break into his house. And conveniently, he knows exactly what time they are going to come rob his house And so the whole movie is based on him preparing for people to come in and steal. If you knew ahead of time that someone was going to break in, you would prepare. You might have the police. You would probably have the police there waiting and ready for them to break in. Now, this is very much talking about being too relaxed. In fact, it's talking about sleeping. The instructions here is to stay awake. In verse 42, stay awake. Sometimes, you know, this staying awake, I think it entails a lot. It entails not just being alert, but thinking ahead. When I'm helping coach baseball, I'm always telling the outfielders, and the outfielders, it kind of gets boring sometimes, right? You're just kind of waiting. You may not see some action. And then all of a sudden, a ball's hit, and then you're in the play, right? All of a sudden, you got to wake up, and you got to find the ball. So I'm always telling outfielders, you have to be ready. You have to be thinking, what if the ball is hit to me right now? What am I going to do with it? Because a lot of times you have kids out there and they'll start kicking the dirt. They found a bird to watch and they are distracted. And so the ball is hit and the coach yells, here it comes, Joseph. And they're like, what? They're not ready. And then they get the ball and they have no idea what to do with it. It's not just about being alert, but it is also thinking about what we should be doing. It could be so sudden, and we would have to react quickly. In Mark chapter 13, this is an issue dealing with staying awake as well. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, I'm going to go down to verse 35. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And this is what I say to you all, stay awake. There was a song that I heard a long time ago, and it was about this topic of being found asleep. And it talks a lot about what are we doing in our lives? Is our faith active? Or are things going on around us that we are just blind to, and we're not awake to the fact that we need to be acting in our faith? That as Christians, we need to be out there being engaged with what is going on in the world to try to help persuade the world of the truth. And these lyrics of this song talk about three different accounts. The song goes like this. O little town of Bethlehem, looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light, for the king has left his throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. O Bethlehem, what have you missed while you were sleeping? For God became a man and stepped into your world today. O Bethlehem, will you go down in history as a city with no room for its king? O little town of Jerusalem, looks like another silent night. The Father gave his only Son, the way, the truth, the life has come, but there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Jerusalem, what have you missed while you were sleeping? The Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, will you go down in history as a city with no room for its king? The United States, it looks like another silent night. As we're sunk to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children, and while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky, for the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away in the night. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Talked about Bethlehem, they had no room for Mary and Joseph. And little did they know that in a manger, not too far, the Son of God was being born. In Jerusalem, when Jesus was being hung on a cross, did they know that he was dying for their sins? And we often talk about these towns like, would you think there'd be a little bit more fanfare and maybe regret and reverence toward the Son of God? No, there wasn't. Because they were sleeping. They were blind to the fact of what was going on around them. And it gives the same warning to us in this country. Are we asleep on what's happening around us? And are we just concerned with our routine and what we are used to doing? In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus gives this warning to some of his disciples. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. And then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." This happens again, right after that. He finds him sleeping as he goes off to pray again. But he gives a warning to them, and I don't know if Jesus, I think there's a double meaning to his little speech here to his disciples. He says, "You're with me, and you couldn't even stay awake and watch over me for this small amount of time. Always remember, okay, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. Be on point, be on guard, be active with your faith." My last point is actually a question. What kind of servant will we be? Going back to finish the section I wanted to read, finish out the chapter, Matthew chapter 24. Starting in verse 45. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him into pieces, put him with the hypocrites. Then in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What makes a faithful and wise servant in this set of scripture? It is one that is ready to give food at the proper time. The one that is always ready. That is not waiting, is not saying, "I have till tomorrow." It is one that is saying, "I am ready now. I am ready now." What makes a wicked servant in these scriptures? It is one that makes it, takes advantage of the master's delay. The wicked servant is the one that says, "You know what? I got time, so I'm going to do things the way I want to do them. Not the way my master wants, but the way I run this place. I'll begin to whip the servants. I'll begin to eat and drink with drunkards. I have time to get my life in order because the master's not here yet." That is what is described as a wicked servant. One that thinks, "I don't really have to iron out the problems in my life right now, because I still have tomorrow." Is this, if we say to ourselves, "I have enough time to focus on this right now, to focus on other things in my life going on. Because what are the odds that Jesus will come back at 5 o'clock this afternoon? What are the odds? I got time to think about other things. I got time to go other places. I got time to get really serious about my faith and celebrate God. I got time to focus on this hobby, that sport, this job, this person, this trip. Because what are the odds? When we ask that question, after talking about Matthew chapter 24, seems as though there's a lot of wicked servants in the world today. If you see the results of when the master comes home, very drastic, right? Very polar opposites. One is, I'm going to give you things. I'm going to set you in charge of things. And the other end is pretty brutal. Cut him up into pieces, put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are servants. All of us here are servants. But the quality of our servitude can be disappointing to the fact that we have a faith that disappoints God. So, as we've gone through Matthew 24, are you sleeping? Will you be found sleeping? What act will you be caught in when you die? When Jesus comes back, when Jesus returns or when you die, what will you be caught doing? What will you be caught thinking about or celebrating or obsessed with? I've always said if I could choose a time or an activity to be doing when I die, it would be in these buildings worshiping God. That's what I would want to be die doing. Send me out with a bang. We should not want to be obsessed with anything else. Because when Jesus returns, we want to be that servant that is ready. Ready to return to him. Ready. We've been ready this whole time. That's the lesson I have for you this afternoon. I'll leave for you to think about. And it's really important to think about, you know, when we get, I preach a lot on this because it's a motivator for myself. But also for anyone that would listen to possibly motivate. Our faith is supposed to be alive. And when it is alive, it is rewarding to us and it is pleasing to God. It's a win-win. And I don't want to be in the town of Bethlehem that something miraculous is happening down the road and we don't even know about it. Or a town that is celebrating something or grieving something and I have no clue what's going on. I want to know about it. I want to celebrate it. I want to celebrate his return. If there's anything that you would like us to pray about as a church, that we can know about it, we can address it, we have an invitation. We invite you to be brave and to be honest. And if there's anything that you would like to address your concern with us, we can address it. And we invite you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.